Welcome to the Human Performance Podcast. Here we talk about everything to do with human performance and how leaders and organizations can get the best out of themselves and their people. I'm your host, Alex Young.
My guest on the podcast this week is Liz Lewinson. Liz is the award-winning author of American Buddhist Rebel, Women, Meditation and Power, and The Power of the Loving Man. A longtime practitioner and teacher of meditation and mindfulness, Liz enjoys upending traditional repressive views of power, women and men. Her executive career spans public relations, Wall Street technology and nonprofit management. We discuss how to practice meditation to boost you over the pandemic, how raising your internal energy gives you a new approach to your daily performance, and Liz provides some practical tips for gaining energy.
Hey Liz, how are you doing today? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to chatting with you today.
Likewise. Well, I think it's going to be some fascinating topics that we're going to cover and really, really pertinent to all the listeners, especially those in very busy jobs on the back of COVID-19 and everything that's been happening over the last year and a little bit longer. But before we jump into that, it'd be great just for you to introduce yourself and your amazing background to everyone listening or watching.
My name is Liz Lewinson, and I have diverse hats that I wear. I am an author. Recently, I've written three books, American Buddhist Rebel, The Power of the Loving Man, and Women, Meditation, and Power. And I'm also have a long-term background in technology, where I was an executive in tech. And before that, I was in public relations in Hollywood. And I just sort of shot up the ladder in that particular career and was, you know, a senior VP at a couple of major studios before I left. So I've had all different backgrounds, and I think that's helped me sort of formulate some of the things I'm going to say today. And of course, I'm also a longtime meditator and also a longtime teacher of meditation, different types of like techniques. So that's my background, kind of what we say. Well-rounded.
I think it's really interesting hearing you talk, because obviously all of those different areas that you've worked in are quite different, but they're all quite sort of, you know, high stress, high intensity. When did you first sort of look at meditation, and was that as a reaction to sort of some of the jobs you were doing?
Well, actually, I was first introduced to meditation in college. I was 19. And at that time, transcendental meditation was just starting out. And that was what I first learned. I loved it from the start. I grabbed onto it because I felt intuitively it would increase my performance, but not just at school, but just as a human being who had to cope with all kinds of crazy things that have always gone on in everyone's life. So that's what I learned. And I actually, my father, my stepmother learned at the same time as me back then. And we all went to India together and learned, got our techniques and became teachers of meditation. Stayed with that. And then about 11 years later, I hopped to another teacher and another method of meditation, which was kind of method-less and very open to different ways to meditate. So I've been meditating for, gosh, you know, well over four decades. And good thing about TM is it emphasizes meditating twice a day. I got in the habit of meditating twice a day back age 19. So now that I'm, you know, many decades ahead of that, that's how long I've been meditating, twice a day. And I will tell you, it makes a huge difference in my outlook, my intuition, my ability to see what's kind of going on. I think I mentioned streetwise. Yeah. Meditation does not make you spacey. That's not my experience.
and for anyone
listening, more perceptive, I think.
and for anyone kind of listening or watching who you know might not be familiar with transcendental meditation or even meditation in general, what in particular about, you know, TM defines it from you know, things like breathing exercise?
Well, I'm not in TM anymore, but I will say that the emphasis twice a day meditation is really good. And they give you a mantra that's a sound. Now, as I'm talking to you today in this first part, I'm going to give everyone a mantra, not a TM mantra, because I promised to keep that a secret. And of course, if I say that, I'll do it. If I promise to keep something a secret, it's done. You don't have to ask again. So But so TM really was great. It's still around there. People still enjoy it. One of the things they say in TM, which I don't agree with at all anymore, is that you sit, you meditate, you start saying your mantra, and then everything that you're, all these thoughts, this is what we learned back then. Don't know if that our release of stress, but that's, I have to tell you, that's BS. Okay. It's not true. Thoughts just mean you're still beginning. You're learning to meditate, because eventually you're not going to have much or any thought when you meditate. You're just going into pure, beautiful stillness. So TM was great. It really was a beautiful start to my career as a meditator. And then, as I said, about 11 years later, I went to hear another teacher who was quite different. He was American and funny and young and hip. And his idea of meditation was just much more intense, much more, many ways to meditate. You can meditate visually. You know, there's a type of meditation called gazing. And in that, and honestly, you can do that wherever you are, because if you can meditate on a flower, you can just gaze intently on one part of a flower, trying to have no other thought in your mind. That's a form of meditation, and it really works. You can meditate on a mountaintop. You can meditate on the horizon, and lovely on a sunset. So what I learned from teacher number two, who I stayed with for a number of years, is all these different ways to meditate. And I found that very helpful. So with TM, you kind of learn one way, and then you kind of, they'll tweak it, and perfectly excellent start. I would tell anybody to learn many ways and become a discriminating enjoyer of meditation.
And in terms of what we've seen over, you know, I said, so the last 12 months or a little bit longer with COVID and stress levels increasing and people working from home and doing hundreds and hundreds of Zoom calls and things like that. How you know, can meditation help, and how have you seen meditation help people?
Meditation can really help. And I know more and more people have tried meditation during the pandemic, and hopefully they're keeping it up afterward. So what meditation does is you take some time, and the easiest time of the day is actually when you first wake up, before you've started your day. You can grab 15 minutes, even if you wake up 15 minutes earlier. Sit up, close your eyes. First thing you'd want to do is take a few deep breaths, just sort of settle in a little bit. And then you can start with this some kind of a mantra meditation, because it creates a vibration. So a mantra is a sound, and every sound has a vibration. So let's say the mantra I was going to say, everyone should try if they've never meditated. It's a wonderful and strong and ancient mantra, and it's from the Tibetan culture. And you probably heard of it, is Om Mani Padme Hum. Have you ever heard of that? Om Mani Padme Hum. You can say that to yourself. It's such a beautiful, strong, it's almost like some part of your being may even remember this feeling that, and what does it mean? It means the jewel is in the lotus, which means what we see around us, which is, the lotus grows out of mud. So what we see around us is like the lotus came from mud. It's all this diversity. In it is the jewel, which is nirvana, which is all this beautiful, timeless stillness. Om Mani Padme Hum is about uniting our daily life with this very still, timeless part of our being. So that's what it means. Om Mani Padme Hum. It isn't about retreat. It's not. It's about being engaged. So I would say people who are wanting to learn to meditate, right there, I just gave you a beautiful way to start and a powerful way to start. 15 minutes enough is enough to start with. And you do sit up straight. And when you finish your meditation, you want to take another minute or two to open your eyes a little bit slowly. You also do not judge your meditation. Just do it. When you're thinking other thoughts than your mantra, just bring in your mantra again and try to focus on it intently. I would say everyone who is not meditating, without regard whether or not they had a hard time in the pandemic or in the last year, which was a very hard year for everybody, adding in meditation will incredibly increase your ability to not only push the edge of your performance, but also recognize where you should be in your performance, your intuition becomes so keen. You may have been pushing yourself in one area and it's not working. You've come out of all this and you're still trying this. I'm trying this. It's not working yet. But maybe there's a reason it's not working. When you are intuitive, you meditate, your intuition starts to flower. You should listen to that thought that says, well, maybe there's something else. Maybe there's another whole path that I'm not exploring yet that I just didn't even think about or realize. When you meditate, it's like your mind opens, and they've done so many studies on the benefits of it. And one of them definitely is your mental, they found that it actually increases your gray matter in your brain. And that means that you're going to think more sharply, and that by definition increases your performance. So at the same time, it's rounding your edges of stress. So one of the key things is that if you're finding your stress is building, meditate two times a day if you can. So we've decided first thing when you wake up in the morning, but now your day is going on. If you can, after you get back home or just to some spot at your desk even, it's 5 or 6 o'clock, the day's winding down. Do the same process. Maybe if you can, wash your face. Take some deep breaths so you sort of break your routine a little bit. Focus on your breath a little bit. And then do that same meditation technique that I just mentioned. Have a mantra or something, gazing. Just try to have no thought as you look at something beautiful. Those are ideas to help your thoughts still down, which is essentially meditation is about getting your thought more and more still, which takes time. We've all had the habit of yammering ever since we were born. So this is a different skill. And it's a lot easier, by the way, to meditate in nature or places where there's not all kinds of people around. But we don't necessarily have that luxury. So we're going to try to just meditate wherever we are, try to still our mind. Whenever we focus, we're trying to say, okay, I want stillness, and I'm going to focus intently on one thing as much as I can. In this case, it's our mantra. So if I focus intently on that, then when I let go, I can feel stillness. Instead of focusing on a zillion things in your mind and just letting your mind rumble and ramble, that's why thoughts are not release of stress. Thoughts, as we think them, are just rumbling and rambling. That's fine. But meditation is about focusing on one thing. And if you can do it very intently, just then you know that you can let go into much, much for a time, sometimes just no thought. And sometimes over time, what happens is those periods of no thought get longer. And then you're finding you're experiencing these beautiful states and planes of awareness that are inside you. So we have, you know, the conscious, the subconscious, but this is about really experiencing the superconscious, the part of ourselves that we all have. And there's a huge amount of energy in it. And the reason I think everyone should meditate is it's native. You haven't spent even 1 cent on this practice. You're doing it wherever you are. If you're in a tent, you can do it. If you're in an office, you can meditate. Ideally, you're someplace pretty and kind of that you enjoy, but it's so take it with you. So I'm very big on everyone meditating. I think it's one of the things that should come out of this time period, and we need it. And we need to negotiate so many new areas of stress. They're coming up almost daily. And there's economic stress, and there's climate stress, and there's illness, and there's overpopulation. And when you do something, when you meditate, you cannot necessarily influence all of this stuff, but you can influence yourself to handle. So that's why meditation has always been, it's always been a mystery to me since I started so young. Why people even resist it. I think people resist it because they associate the word meditation with passivity or maybe wimpiness or not being able to handle stuff. But I will tell you that meditation will make you more of a warrior because you're going to be seeing more. You're going to have more compassion because you see more. You are not going to escape as you meditate. But because you meditate, you can navigate. You can just navigate better. I think you're in a stronger position to help other people. And you'll find out that many, many successful people, they don't talk about it, but they do meditate. They've learned a way to meditate and they do it. because it helped them.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I meditate and practice yoga as well. And yes. I found it very, very interesting, actually. I mean, I originally, probably similar to yourself, started off doing, sort of 5, 10, 15 minutes as a one-off session. And then, especially when I was doing lots and lots of Zoom calls, and your mind is literally racing, especially if you sort of finish late or, you know, like me, you're doing sort of calls in the different time zones. And one of the things I found really interesting was, which was when I first started practicing meditation, I found it very, very difficult to really sort of remove any sort of thoughts, and your thoughts always kind of come rushing in and staying sort of present. And equally, even though I'd been doing it for about 5 years, when I then started doing it in the evenings after Zoom meetings, I had the same problem. What would you say to sort of anyone who's either starting off or who's experiencing some struggles with really just kind of being present or shutting off their mind in the moment?
Well, when you first start, you have to give a little faith to it. I remember when I first started, I meditated twice a day for 3 weeks at least. Nothing, I really didn't think anything was happening. And then about 3 weeks in, I just remember this feeling of something bubbling up inside of me. It was like something fresh. It was just this emotion of, wow, this is a fresh feeling, almost like starting over a little bit, of fresh energy, a fresh sense of new possibilities. That was my first experience from meditating. I couldn't have predicted it. I think when you first start, there will be tons of thoughts. You won't be that successful at all because it takes time. I mean, you could even say it takes years, because I've been meditating for years and I'm only now at the point where I consistently sit down and kind of close my eyes and experience all kinds of beautiful stillness. No, I think it takes a long time, but you're not waiting for good results, okay? Because as soon as you start, practically, like I said, within a few weeks, you should start to feel some benefit. And the other point is, especially for that second day meditation, when you've been jamming it all day on Zoom meetings and calls. And so I like to take a little bit of a break there. Okay, so you get off your last Zoom meeting or take a break, let's say. Again, definitely some deep breaths. If you can, if you're anywhere near the outside and you can even lean out the window, again, remember that there's something going on in nature outside your window. If you can maybe do a little, like a few movements of yoga, good idea. Yoga does lots of shoulder stretches and back stretches. So I would say prep for your second meditation with a little bit more breathing and exercise, and water is very healing and great. And then you can, then you should be able to sit down and not be quite so wired. But it's also okay to meditate a little later. I mean, if you're just too wired, you may want to wait till that 5:36. It is nice to meditate around sunset. There's a special time in nature and where there's a kind of opening, they say, between the worlds at sunset. So it's a lovely time to meditate, but let's say you can't. Well, if you meditate later, that's okay too.
And for meditating in the morning, I mean, one of the things that I found, particularly useful, and one of the reasons I was able to kind of commit it to habits, I think, was that especially if I was doing meditation where there was very much, sort of positive feeling for the rest of your day, or, affirmations or meditation or mantras around your energy and getting started for the day. I found that very, very helpful and quite energizing. I was just wondering, in terms of kind of, performance and people integrating into their kind of work-life balance, how can sort of, meditating give people energy, and have you seen that as being a very positive effect for people you've worked with?
Well, it's an interesting question, because in a certain sense, since meditation is about making your thought more still and your mind isn't really allegedly focusing then on all this stuff, I have found that what I must do is, if I have some interesting thought in meditation, I really don't want to focus on it. I want to set it aside. So I am a big user of the to-do list. And it sounds trivial, but I'm telling you, it's a lifesaver, because you can have your goals. You can update it practically daily. And that's what I do. I balance this completely, you know, thought-free time with very, very strong focus. And in fact, that's what the second teacher I studied with emphasized. He said, if you want to have high experiences in meditation, you have to focus and use your mind in a very challenging, high performance ways during the day, because your mind is like a muscle. And when you look at the classic, like Tibetan ways, those monasteries, they didn't just sit and meditate all day. They actually spent the whole day having to memorize complex visualizations, learning advanced mathematics, learning advanced astrology, which is not woo-woo astrology. I mean, it was like really very, very precise. And they learned debating. They had exercise. So that's how they were able to meditate. So these two things are correlated very closely. And so I would say that, yes, I like to complete my meditation with all kinds of positive affirmations. You know, may all love surround you, all kinds of beautiful things that every person could do. So it's a lovely way to finish. But if you are goal-driven and ambitious and you really want to achieve everything in your life, I would say in addition to meditation, it sounds trivial, but you actually have to keep your list, because you don't want to, you have two things going on now in your life, complete trying to be without thought and now real focused, really brain challenging things, whether it's, again, in tech, it would be programming, but in sports, it can be so many different things. So I would say, articulate those goals, keep them written out. Put them, I'm big on writing. Writing takes your power and compresses it. So one of the ways to gain power is as simple a thing as writing things down. And so when you have goals and have them written down, you can have them posted somewhere. You can make sure those lists you're making can be so organized that they're organized by goal. You know, you guys who are professionals or people who just are out there, whatever you're doing, I would approach it like an amazingly complex, but again, in Tibet, they memorized the visual of a very complex, they called it a mandala, had literally thousands of pieces in it, and they had to memorize the whole thing and where it belonged. So that was part of their practice. And what you as a person in the world do is you take all these pieces and you just go, this isn't weird. This isn't stuff that isn't really me. No, it is really you. It's part of your way you're going to be happier and more energized. You know that when you do well in any of your endeavors, you're more energized. Your performances peak. That goes with meditation, but it's a little bit two different streams. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. And it's very interesting hearing you talk about sort of the energy and the things you do you know, outside of your kind of meditative practice, because I think, again, you know, for busy individuals and the world we live in now and even before, it's very important for people to, you know, be kind to themselves, look after themselves. And, you know, even before we sort of get to integrating habit and meditation, I think that element of just recognizing if you're running low on energy or things that sort of energize you in life. And as you say, if you're goals based and you're hitting your goals and you're doing well, you're going to love what you're doing. You're going to have that energy. You're going to want to go into work. But if things are not going well, that's often when things sort of start to become difficult. Have you got any sort of, you know, musings around how people can sort of, you know, check their energy and what they can do in terms of practical tips to be as energized as possible?
Well, there is so let's step back and say we all have energy. We all have actually like an energy body around us, and it does get depleted. And I think it's good to understand how sometimes when one of the main ways things get depleted is in relationships. And it's very important to if you're around people who are angry, if you're open to them and you're overexposed, that will deplete your energy. and you need to find a way to shield yourself. And it's also, if you can be thinking that it's a priority not to have that situation, whatever means that you find to get rid of that kind of anger in your life. Anger is one of the more depleting energy loss things. And so is, if let's say you have a goal and again, you're racing and you're trying so hard to achieve it, it's not happening. You have to be fun to be flexible and realize, well, why don't I could start over. Maybe the goal is not exactly for me, or maybe the way I'm trying to achieve it isn't. So the sense that you can start over in Zen, you know, one of the most energizing things is in Zen, it's called beginner's mind. And if, you know, it's you approach everything like a beginner. And what that does for you is it allows you to let go of all this stuff that may be draining your energy. It allows you to think, well, I'm in a situation, I'm just beginning, even though I had all these assumptions, I'm trying to kind of look at it like I'd never even heard of any of it before. And what that does for you is you, it's actually a way to see more clearly. I look at things that way. I also look at things, you know, there's much talk about compassion. I'm a great believer in compassion for people so we don't get angry. We feel compassion toward people who are suffering, who may be expressing anger toward us. That can help you keep a distance and keep your own mind clean. We need to talk about mindfulness, but one of the ways to achieve mindfulness is that when people are expressing negativity, which will drain your energy, or people are arguing or not getting along, that you do feel compassion. That's one way. I'm very big on feeling dispassion. I feel like I just move into this state of, I don't feel either. I just feel right in the middle. I'm looking at this situation, seeing clearly. And I find that raises my energy because I just see it for what it is. I see people who themselves may not have much energy and they're sort of trying to glom onto yours in these kind of not very clean ways. So when that happens, I get such a good feeling because I understand that, well, I'm going to step back emotionally. I'm going to step back, some cases physically, if I can, not be so literally physically close. And I just get into a state of, yeah, I get it. It's very clear to me what's going on here. No surprises. People are unhappy about different things, but that doesn't mean I have to be. So this emotional thing is one of the main ways we all drain, get our energy drained, is we're involved in situations that aren't really working for us, but yet there's ways in our mindful state that we can see that we negotiate around them. And, you know, in work these days, there's more and more ways that the a good manager should be able to help with, you know, getting things out in the open so people, no one's festering. That kind of thing drains your energy so much. Having routines drains your energy. I would hope that as people come back in any area, that these routines that they always had, they're not so eager to get back right in the same way, because changing your routine brightens your energy. If you've always driven to work the same way, draining. If you've always worked the same way and eaten in the same restaurants, and all draining. And I think one of the things people are noticing now, things are changing in some subtle ways. That's actually a good thing. It's a good thing for energy raising. There's so many situations that we could talk about, but mindfulness is critical. So mindfulness means that you watch your own emotions. You can't necessarily control other people, but like I recently just spoke to someone, and a nice person, friend, and all of a sudden he started talking about his mother. She is so boss. He was angry at his mother, okay? Well, his whole personality changed. His energy changed terribly when he was, because he was feeling the anger. Mother's like off somewhere across the country. You know, I didn't feel much about the mom. I felt this person is harboring all this anger inside themselves. How sad, you know, that that person should be mindful and go, wait a minute, who's getting harmed here? How can I give someone that much power over me if I can just say to myself, hey, she's doing her best, or he's doing his best, or it's me now who's feeling anger. And that's when you, as a mindful person, One is go and take, again, deep breaths. Look at it like a brand new kid, that state of mind. Just whatever you do to give yourself the input that doesn't keep that negative emotion inside of you. That's mindfulness. It can be very tricky, but you know, you're driving on the freeway and it gets all messed up. Well, that's the time you'd better be prepared with some audiobooks. There's things you could plan ahead for. But if you want to be high performance, really high performance, you have to, I think you have to be very discriminating about who is around you in a close sense and what is their state of mind? Are they being mindful? Everyone needs to be, can be responsible for themselves, and it's hard. It's what, but what better challenge to have? Because real peak, to me, peak human performance is not just being a great athlete or really wealthy or, you know, getting your gig together. Musician is definitely about emotional beauty. It's about being not angry, but loving, being kind, and not being the kind of person who wants to be powerful at the expense of suppressing others. That's cheap power, man. Cheap power is suppressing other people. True power is just radiating from within yourself and being able to express it, just sharing it naturally without even any sense of domination or control. It's really about a fluidity, if anything. So being able to listen, that's what a skill. That's beautiful human performance. So many great aspects to human performance that may or may not have been considered. And I'm hoping, again, that people take this time that they were isolated and they weren't around everybody, and to sort of step back. And if people are maintaining bad habits on Zoom, I hope not. I hope everyone's a little sense of humor has returned a bit. Is that what you're finding on your Zoom meetings?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it certainly helps that the end is in sight. But yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And it reminds me of a really good sort of, you know, performance coaching principle, which is, you know, in terms of sports and things, if, you know, lots of times things happen outside of your sort of circle of control. Yeah. as they happen in life. And you can't control some of those things. But what you can control is your reaction to that and your emotions. And, you know, very similar with COVID, you know, when these things happen and places go into stay at home order and lockdown and quarantine, that there's very little that you as an individual in a society can kind of do, right, to overcome that. And you could easily sort of sit at home feeling like a victim, getting angry, being like, why can't I go outside? Or you could, you know, look at what you can, you know, what you can do to improve things, what new skills you could learn, and just manage your emotions, which I find absolutely fascinating. And that's something that really speaks to kind of performance. I don't know, would you sort of agree with that?
Oh, I definitely agree with this. It's another level of amazing challenge, isn't it? And I think now that things are lifting again a little bit, I mean, definitely there are ways to raise your energy. And if you find yourself stuck, like in this endless circle of repeating incidents and thoughts in your brain, sometimes just going out into the closest nature you can find, or further away, but a walk on the beach, somewhere where there's not a lot of people around, and there's some a walk in the woods, if there's not a lot of people around, something that just sort of cleanses your, again, this energy body that you have around you. It can get clogged up with other people's thoughts and emotions, and you may be thinking things that aren't even your own. And I was feeling that during the pandemic, by the way, since I've been meditating a long time. I'm highly like intuitive or psychic from all these years of meditation. I used to sit here in my little place and just feel waves of anxiety or waves of fear or waves of this and that. And I knew it wasn't all me. I just wasn't. It was the general population. And I feel like to be aware of that is helpful, because then you go, oh my God, first idea is it's all me. I'm like losing it completely. But yet, if you understand that maybe you're just picking up on things, because every human being is far more psychic than you give yourself credit for, and also more intuitive, but then we've been taught to listen. So now that we're emerging, I think it's a great time to test out some of these ways that you do naturally raise energy. So yeah, exercise does, we know that. Learning new skills does that. Sometimes just going to a movie that's well done, you feel energized afterwards because you've seen some art. So beautiful art has historically done that. And, but yeah, a nice hike that you may have wanted to do, or a trip into the water, just water itself, if you can get in the water, is very healing. These are things to do to raise your energy level. And then when you're feeling like that, be conscious and hold on to it and say, hey, this doesn't have to be just a fleeting moment. I'm going to remember this feeling. I'm going to hold it as a feeling. So just as an example, I went just 2 weeks ago, some friends and I went hiking in Sequoia National Park. And the first time I've done that in a couple of years. And we started out at a high elevation. We went up a little ways toward the top of the mountain. There was hardly anyone there. And I think because really no one had been there, I couldn't believe it. There were flowers, there were butterflies, but mainly there was a feeling. The feeling was a pristine, celebrating nature, like nature is meant to be. And I just took it in. It was just like, oh, this is so beautiful. It feels like a celebration. And as I sit here right now talking to you, I can feel it. It's like, what do you want to do when you're feeling a little like, oh, I've just been knocked on the, you know, on my butt with something? How about if I think about how that felt just 2 weeks ago, standing up there? It's like a memory, an imprint. So when you have these wonderful times and great vacations, and we feel so fabulous, if you can sort of, again, it's part of your list making, it's a sort of a impression making, impress it and go, yeah, I deserve that too. This part of my me, my spectrum of my range of emotions is now like increased. So when they say people, most humans have this pretty small emotional gamut when you meditate and practice mindfulness to keep everything together. But especially when you meditate, you increase your range of emotional intelligence and emotional experience. It becomes more beautiful. It goes up on the higher end because you're experiencing this new range of inner bubbliness or inner brightness that you hadn't experienced before. So, and then you go forward with that. So your human performance is going to be so much better and so much more integrated and balanced. That's key.
Yeah. And I mean, you've had an amazing career, as you sort of touched on at the top of the conversation, you know, with lots of kind of high pressure, you know, big jobs and it'd be really, and then obviously sort of what you've done now, you've written a number of books, as we mentioned as well, one of which has got possibly my three favorite words in the English language, being American, Buddhist and rebel. So I was just wondering if you could sort of, you know, I guess reflecting back on your career, your journey through sort of meditation, mindfulness, and then writing those books, what you've sort of learned from that experience that other people could benefit from?
Yeah. Well, meditation totally figures in here because I grew up in West Los Angeles, and at some point I decided to become a freelance writer, and there's no money in that. Okay. I was like starving. And I was working with a lot of public relations firms that like people to write about their clients. So I created a resume and I dropped it off at a few of these PR firms. And I was hired at one that at the time was turned out to be a very great one. It was then working with all this, back when public television was a big deal and got funding from big corporations. So my boss then, she had a female boss, Connie Stone, one of the first women leaders in that industry, they did beautiful work. And my first job, there was a most famous dancer of that time was Dame Margot Fonteyn. And I got to go around the whole country with Dame Margot Fonteyn, my first job. And everywhere she went, it was like huge amounts of roses and she just like a prima ballerina. So that was my start. And so why was I always able to handle the stress of that job? Because I meditated. People gravitated to me. And I will tell you, whoever's listening here, they will gravitate to you if you meditate because you can handle stress, because you can do an interview and stay calm and center. You know, it's just something they sense. So I went from this art type public relations firm. Then my next firm was mainstream. And my client was Johnny Carson, the talk show host. I had all these very mainstream actresses, Paul Newman and his wife, Joanne Woodward, were my clients. I was in this tour thing with Cary Grant. It's really amazing. So wow. Yet I was never stressed. I was never even particularly impressed. Why? Because I meditated. It's sort of like, it gives you this balance. It gives you this sense of we're all human. And then I went, got jobs more and more senior in different firms. My last firm in PR, I'll mention, is Stephen Cannell. What a lovely man he was. Productions, they had Johnny Depp's first show, 21 Jump Street. They had a whole bunch of shows on the air. And I was still meditating. And same thing. It was just always, how do you handle stress? And it was very stressful at times. Very like being in the middle of people bumping heads. Then at that point, though, I kind of decided to leave PR because PR was getting nasty. Okay. Now it is. Now the world of media is just nasty. Okay. There's no break. But back at this was in the early 90s. It was getting nasty. And this Buddhist teacher I had found really liked computer science because he said it was such a good mental career for meditators. And again, anyone listening here, if you may think computer science is all dry math, it's not. Incredibly interesting area that always changes, literally changes, as you may know, every 5 minutes it changes. So anyway, I decided to get into that. And I went to a computer trade school. And from there, I sort of merged my verbal skills with what they need on the job in tech situations, where they need you to help get the requirements from the users. And I did more data type jobs. And soon enough, I learned a lot about managing large technology projects. So that was that became my career in tech. And I did very well with it. And it was incredible. I have to say it was more stressful. I think it was. I can tell you that there were situations where if you don't do it right, one of these finance firms will literally lose like $500 million. You don't get it right. A little bit stressful, but I don't feel I ever reached that level of deep stress because I meditated. It would kind of clean out and clear out. I, as a manager, was intuitive and I stuck up for my team. You know, if a manager said something that my team didn't deserve, I would just push right back. So I did well in that career and enjoyed it. So I think that meditation has always served me at every day of my career because, and also in my health, you know, I think that, you know, knock wood, I've never had a health problem. I'm not saying that every meditator would feel that, but I once fell and I broke my wrist, but I'm saying I never had an internal health problem. And I think that years have passed. I feel like if you manage your stress, I'm not guaranteeing for a second that will not people, but I will say that stress is one of the biggest causes of your illness. And so meditation, again, this idea that you want to purposely make your mind more quiet, do this focus exercise. That's what meditation is. Going back to the beginning, you're learning to focus on one thing. And I think it'd be fun if you guys try Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Such a beautiful mantra. And try focusing on that as intently as you can. It'll, that little process of focus and then letting go into stillness more and more, and read about other techniques. Don't take my word for it, but read about others and do it. And you can, I like to meditate to a band called Zazen, Z-A-Z-E-N. Zazen has songs like Samurai, or that's how you know you hit the right Zazen, Ecstasy, Samadhi. The band called Zazen is beautiful for meditation music. So that's another helpful way to, it's like a buffer. Okay, so you, there again, busy day. If you sit down and you have some beautiful music like the Zazen band, that's their name, Z-A-Z-E-N, you put it on, three songs or four songs is 15 minutes. You can just listen to the notes of the music, focus on the notes of the music, and you have meditated well. So yeah, okay, my whole career is about meditation and successfully meditating, successfully navigating cultural issues. When I've made a mistake, successfully rebounding. Everyone makes mistakes. I heard recently as somebody, you know, she was fired from her job and she was so upset, you know, depression, huge drama. Okay, you got fired from your job. The rebound is the skill. It's that's if you're meditating and you touch a very lovely still place, you get it. It's perspective. There's eternity and then there's what happened to you today.
I think that's a fantastic summary. And just as we try, as we sort of finish wrapping up here, it would be great to learn who your human performance hero is that's inspired you on your journey.
Right now, you know, my heroes are, I'm going to give you some general ones because I'm going to say, because I live in a fire area and the fires rage through here, firefighters. They're actually my heroes because what a job, man. You just sit there waiting for the call to come and you're completely in these areas in California, which have so much woods, you're just outnumbered. And yet you have the skill and the faith and I think the courage to go out there. So I believe I'm putting firefighters, people who are willing to do that at the top. And I also, just from the news, I want to give you someone that not everyone will agree with, but I think Richard Branson. You know what? People are like dissing what he did because he didn't quite go into space. And I would say to anyone, give yourself a break and give himself a break because human performance is vast. There are no big government agencies anymore supporting space. He and these guys that everyone is trashing are the ones that are going to do all the pioneering work for space. So his little machine there was tested 4 times before he got on it. I believe he's 70 years old. He got on it. He's a showman. Yep. But you know what? It's all cool. So I think if we could all be like Richard Branson, we may not be that rich, but if we have that attitude that he kept saying, he's not just putting money into this for money. He's doing it because we need it on this planet. We're very overcrowded here. We're about to trash the earth beyond recognition. So we're going to need some space travel as our next form of movement and change. So I'm putting him on my peak performance list. He's human. He isn't perfect, but he sure is, I think, doing important work.
Well, both absolutely fantastic examples. And I think having been in California myself, when there were some wildfires going on in Northern California, you know, firefighters and any blue light services around that were just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And yes, Sir Richard Branson, again, I think, you know, his autobiography is obviously called "So Screw It, Let's Do It." And I think that kind of attitude and not having like those limiting beliefs and doing this amazing stuff should be celebrated. And I completely agree with that whole sentiment.
I have a hunch. I think he meditates. I bet he does.
I'm sure. I bet Necker Island is a great place to meditate as well.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, Liz, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today, and lots of just amazing, you know, very practical tips and ways that people can apply this into their daily lives, you know, for the better, to improve their own human performance. If anyone does want to get in contact with you or pick up a copy of any of your books, where's the best place to go?
My website. Go to lizlewinson.com. There's a contact sheet and I get the email immediately. And also I have my books there. So that's the easiest. I'm on social, Liz Lewinson, Facebook, Liz Lewinson. But the best, one of the easy ways is to go to the website.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope you have a fun, energizing, productive rest of your day in California.
You too. Take care.